5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. This is the time where we take a look at the top four or five trending stories in the sports world nationally. Oh, boy, this is going to get interesting here. In a letter, and according to ESPN.com, in a letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Tuesday, an attorney for four dozen former Washington Commanders employees raised serious concern that the NFL violated a very specific promise of confidentiality that was made to her clients before they testified to investigators about Dan Snyder and the team's toxic workplace culture. Lisa Banks, as a Washington, D.C. lawyer, cited an ESPN report last week that the Commanders' lawyers used NFL investigator Beth Wilkinson's inquiry as a tip sheet to compile an enemies list that was used by Snyder's law firm to commission private investigations and harass her clients, including former team cheerleaders and other former employees. So basically, these people that stepped forward, it's supposed on the NFL's behalf, Roger Goodell let their names get out. So Dan Snyder knew of the names and allegedly was sending investigators to investigate, which is what they do, and harass some of her clients. Wow. I mean, Dan Snyder, bad look for Dan Snyder, bad look for Roger Goodell. Here we go, Angel. Is this the tip of the iceberg?
I mean, can it be? Even with all this, can you still get Snyder out?
No.
With all the dirt he might have?
And it still won't ruin the NFL yet. This is stuff that's still not going to ruin the NFL. Like I said, there's a threshold. How far do we go?
We expect some kind of, you know, there's conversations that are held behind closed doors, handshake deals, all kinds of stuff that go on with these owners.
Mm-hmm.
But we still watch every game.
Yeah.
Oh. Until something messes with the game.
Messes with the game. The integrity of the game. That's when you start shaking a little bit if you're the NFL. Here's another NFL owner story. The NFL team owners are expected to approve a resolution Tuesday that will have Rams owner Stan Kroenke reimbursing the league for the remaining $571 million paid to St. Louis over the team's relocation to Los Angeles. Multiple owner and league executive sources told ESPN the NFL has already paid the $790 million settlement to St. Louis. But how the payment was divided up between Kroenke and the league has been, of course, contentious over the last few months. So are we getting that one resolved? Sounds like maybe we're getting that one resolved. Get one story or one bad thing done as you're getting ready to prepare for whatever is to come with this Dan Snyder situation. This bodes well for the Nuggets, Angel. The betting odds, based on the betting odds and wherever you look at your betting odds, the new NBA season is the most wide open the league has ever seen. Yes, this is great news. Susan and Cheryl, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, they love that. They are diehard Nuggets fans. Creepy, I think. They, like, you know, crush on Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and all that stuff, man.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, right. Welcome to the whole show, man. The Warriors, the Celtics, and the Clippers are either favorites or co-favorites across the betting market with consensus odds of plus 600, which is why the longest recorded odds for any opening night favorite, which is the longest, excuse me. Additionally, the Nets, Bucks, and Sixers have consensus odds of 10-1 or shorter. Now, again, that's not throwing the Nuggets in the mix, but wide open is good for the Nuggets. You want this to be wide open. Now, again, I don't know what DraftKings and all those books really know or, you know about this Nuggets team, but that a wide open league is a good thing for the Denver Nuggets. I said this on my show. Gosh, I think we had Mr. Chris Dempsey on the program. We have conflicting programs now, so it's hard to get our guy on. I gave him crap for that the other day. We'll figure something out. We talked about this at great length. I said, don't you think in the next few years, with all these players, they're not joining forces necessarily. There's a bunch of players that are joining forces, but scattered throughout different teams. You're seeing super teams all over the league. I said, don't you think that at some point the NBA is going to be wide open and it's going to be really fun? And that was what we both agreed on. This is going to get there. I thought maybe it would be the case 2 years ago. And Golden State still, in my mind, Angel, I'm probably going to say Golden State's my favorite in my mind. Like, if I'm going with my brain. Doesn't mean I don't think the Nuggets are capable of it. But you're going to go with the last champion. And I guess the question I have to you then, Angel, did Golden State get worse?
I won't say they got worse in terms of the players. I don't think they got better because they're kind of they're running with
and
that.
And maybe mentally they got worse.
Yeah, mentally.
With
I
the
think
Draymond
still,
Green thing.
You're still running with that Clay, Steph, Draymond. Is Iguodala still there? I don't know. Might be too old.
He was there. I don't know if he's still on the roster anymore.
But they're kind of getting towards the end of what it feels like this young core that they've put together, you know, back in 2016 when they won their first title. And, you know, they've been in this situation before, so they know what it's like to have the target on their back, but
yeah.
They don't feel as threatening as they used to.
They don't, and again, if the Nuggets have anybody to help Nikola Jokic in that turn in that series last year, they make that way more competitive, because the Nuggets had two games where it felt like they could pull this thing out. Based on what? Like, they just the Joker
the
doing jokery
will
things.
Of Nikola Jokic.
Yes. The interesting thing to me with the Warriors will be, do they get over this Draymond Green thing? Is Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, are they really good? Or is this going to be one of those stories that we all saw in the headlines that went, oh, they're talking now, they're going to be good. But 5 years later when they make a documentary about this team, is it going to be like, oh, it was great, you know, we did it with KD, we did it with this, then Jordan Poole storms onto the scene, we did it with this guy, he was emerging as the next big thing for Golden State, and then the music, like, stops, and then Draymond hit him. And then, bam, that was it.
It's like the Dennis Rodman part of The Last Dance.
Could be. I should be a producer or director or something, because I've already got it in my head. Make all this stuff. If Golden State suddenly starts to falter, and maybe this is it of the dynasty, then you might go back to this moment. Everything was well and good. We had our superstars. We had our MVP. We had Steph Curry. Klay Thompson was fully back now. Even last year, now he's fully back. We had our heir apparent to Steph Curry and Jordan Poole. And then Draymond Green hit him. Sides were formed. Alliances were formed. Golden State fought a lot throughout the course of the season. Because whose side Steph Curry taking? If you had to draw a line in the sand, even though we all agree Draymond was wrong, Draymond, Steph, Clay, that's the old G's, man. That's the three. That's their three. Well, and Andrew Wiggins. How could I forget Andrew Wiggins, too? But, like, who's Steph Curry siding with?
I feel like Steph is, he's such a team guy.
Diplomat.
Such a good, you know, just a good player and dude on his team. I think he'll probably try to advocate for both and try to just, you know, mediate this and figure that, hey, guys, we're going to be fine. Let's figure this out. But if you had to pick a side, I think he's going with Poole.
Well, what happens if it's a two-point game, 20 seconds left, Golden State has the ball. They're drawing up a play for Steph. Jordan takes a shot, misses it. Draymond gets mad.
Punches Steph.
Well, it just goes over to Jordan Poole. Like, dude, that was designed for Steph. Why did you take the shot? Get out of my face. Then here we go again.
Yeah, I think this will be a story that you kind of follow with the Warriors, and you know, anything can happen in a basketball game where frustrations are flying, and we've seen Draymond act out during games. I wouldn't be shocked if he did it again against his own team. Like, I could see him raging, hitting somebody and storming off the court, and you never see him again. And that's the end of Draymond.
The end of Draymond Green. Which, and I'm going to say this is probably unpopular, Angel. I'm a Draymond Green fan. I'm a fan of characters. You don't like that? I like him. I don't like that he's hitting people. Not condoning violence here. But there's a part of me that I like to have a little attitude once in a while with players. That the guys that make you boo. I always said the Westbrooks of the world are good for sports. You love to hate them. Draymond Green is that guy. You love to hate this guy. So when he's gone, it's going to be like, can we get another? We need more of those guys. I love the little nasty trash talk. They do the defensive thing. They don't need to score. They're just going to be rough dudes. I kind of like it. Kind of okay with it. But who are the other threats? I mean, Golden State, obviously that's there. I don't know how big of an issue it will be. Memphis. Are you worried about Memphis?
From what I've been seeing from David Roddy.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The spring or the summer and then in the preseason, they might be, they'll be a pretty solid team. They were, you know, they're just kind of getting into their playoff window now with, you know, John Morant.
John Morant's a ridiculous player.
They're going to be a good team. They might be a top four seed.
They got Steven Adams, Desmond Bane. Now, according to the depth chart, David Roddy's down the list, so I think it's going to take a little time for him to work himself in there. So Memphis will be good. Are you worried about them beating? Okay, let's just do this right now. 7-game series, Denver, Memphis.
Denver.
In what?
6.
Denver, Dallas with Luka, Tim Hardaway Jr. They got Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench. I think they're going to start JaVale. I think they're starting JaVale at center. Who's winning? 7-game series.
Nuggets in 7, but it's one back-and-forth game, back-and-forth series.
The Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. We got Torrey Craig there playing some good defense. Mikal Bridges.
Nuggets in 4.
Ooh, then you're the Nuggets in 4 guy.
Yes.
How about the Clippers? Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Kawhi, Marcus Morris, Zubac. Is it Zubac or Zubach? I get it wrong.
I think the first one.
I get it wrong every time. Nuggets got them, right?
I like that. Nuggets in 6 in that series.
What else? Who else am I missing? Oh, is it the Lakers? I mean, what are they doing?
Who knows?
Who's starting point guard for them? Is it Russ? It's not Russell, is it?
No, Russell's coming off the bench.
So is it Schroeder? You Schroeded it? Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. Can Anthony Davis play more than a game and a half this year? Nuggets, sweep them.
Yes.
That's a sweep. I'm just thinking of any team that might... Are the Blazers a threat anymore?
I don't think so.
But they did get Gary Payton II, that decent player for Golden State.
He's no CJ.
No.
Damian, but...
There's Damian, Josh Hart. They do have Josh Hart. Oh, Jeremy Grant. I forgot about that. That's an interesting move for them. That's a good move for them, actually. And then Yusuf, still there. Might be okay. Playoff team, maybe?
A team like Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, where did they go last year? They made it to the... What'd they make it to? The play-in game?
I think it was them and Memphis in the play-in game last year.
D'Angelo Russell. Who else they got? Karl Anthony Towns.
Rudy Gobert.
Oh, that's right. They got Rudy Gobert. I don't love that. Don't take the over for points for Joker in that game. If anytime they play Minnesota, I would stay away from it. That move right there was to stop Nikola Jokic, in my mind. Is that too big, though? Are they trying to experiment like the Nuggets did with Yusuf and Nikola? Rudy and Karl Anthony Towns? Because isn't Towns typically a center?
Typically, he plays that 4-5 role. He might just permanently switch over to 4 now. But looking at the Western Conference, other than the teams we named, I can't think of any team that the Nuggets couldn't go beat in a series.
Golden State's the only one that scares me. And that's just... Steph Curry scares me. I have nightmares about that guy.
Well, the Nuggets have struggled against the Warriors in their history.
All right, so who are our playoff teams? Okay, Denver. Golden State. Let's go first 6. Golden State. The Mavs, right? Clippers. First 4, top 4, 5, 6, whatever.
I put Memphis over them.
Memphis. Phoenix?
Phoenix.
Phoenix 5, so that's 5. You got Memphis. So Mavs.
Do the Pelicans sneak in?
I think I'd go Mavs over that. So there's our 6. Who are the 4 play-in teams? Portland. Lakers?
No. Maybe OKC. They did all right last year.
Pelicans probably a play-in team.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That last play-in spot's going to be a bad team, whoever that is.
Let's just say the Spurs for old Pop's sake.
Pop gets it in, figures it out. Yeah, that's interesting because last year the play, it was Minnesota, New Orleans, Clippers, and Spurs. Who's not going to make the playoffs that made it last year? Utah?
Yeah.
Utah's out. Spurs made the play-in game. Portland didn't make it last year, but that was, didn't Damian get hurt? That hurt them, obviously. Boy, let's rock and roll. I mean, yeah, breaking into it like this, if you can stay healthy, Michael Porter Jr. answers the call. Jamal Murray gives us a glimpse of Bubble Boy. Did you see Jake Gyllenhaal in that movie, the remake of Bubble Boy?
Is that about the kid that's in the bubble?
Yeah, he's in the bubble. Sick? He's a boy. He's in the bubble. Hmm. And spoiler alert, not really sick.
Oh.
Mom convinces him of that for his whole life.
A little placebo effect.
Then he creates a bubble where he can transport, like he's in just a little round bubble walking around.
It's like a sci-fi film?
Goes to try to find a girl. And then later at the end of the movie, she's like, dude, I lied to you. Sorry. And he's like, wow, my whole life's a lie. And it's a terrible movie.
Oh, I don't even need to watch it now.
No, it's so bad. Jake Gyllenhaal before Jake Gyllenhaal did Jake Gyllenhaal things. 12:21 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We will catch up with CSURams.com. CSURams.com's Mike Brohard talked to us a little bit about this Rams team going up against Hawaii. Are we turning the corner? I know they lost to Utah State, but does it feel like the Rams are kind of turning a corner here? We'll talk to Mike about that later on in the show. More Broncos aftermath from the terrible Monday Night Football game. The Broncos have been a part of probably the worst games collectively in the season of the season so far. So I want to get your thoughts on all that. It is Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Or call us, 970-353-1310. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Something in the way, yeah.
Something in the way. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
On the Rocks Liquors, bringing us our game beer of the week each and every week. This one's from Berthoud Brewing, Sam's Orange Ale. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru or pop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Get at us with some of your thoughts from the Broncos game. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, will Nathaniel Hackett be fired before the season ends, after the season, or will he be given a second year? And it's so raw right now, Angel. It's so fresh that it's like the sky is falling. Everything's done. If you somehow beat the Jets and the Jags, you're 500. 500 going into your bye. Then you got a hell of a schedule coming up after that. But that should be, if you're just wanting to take this thing a game at a time or whatever, that's it. That's the goal. You got to win these next two games and go into your bye. Got to find a way if you want to salvage anything from this season.
We talked about, playing desperate. We talked about that with the Raiders game. We talked about it with the Colts. And even last night, the Broncos are in a situation where they should be playing desperate football. And it looks like they just don't. Didn't look like they care.
They looked like it in the first quarter. And defensively, it looks like they're playing kind of in a desperate fashion.
But you're not going to rely on that defense the rest of the way.
You can't rely on turnovers. You can't rely on touchdowns. Like, you don't go into a game saying, hey, we know our defense is going to get at least two turnovers and give us good field position. You hope it happens. Giro Evero game plans probably creates defensive plays to get turnovers, but you can't count on it. And you can't count on the defense playing lights out all game either, because even the best defenses get broken down. couple of games here and there. You see him break down. It happens. I did do well enough in my picks this weekend, though. I went 4-1, so I'm back to 500. Clean slate. It's like the season is just starting. I battled back, Angel. I battled back into this thing. So this is a monster weekend for me to try to get up over that. Of course, I pick Air Force, CSU, UNC, CU, Broncos, and Wyoming. So it's the more teams you add, the more difficult it gets, Angel. I don't know if that's what they told you that, but it does get harder to pick.
The numbers get bigger and bigger, and then you don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do. The fact that I'm back to 500, more than halfway done with the college season, and not quite to the halfway point yet for the NFL, I'll take it. I'm okay with that. Thursday night special needs some work, though. That is on life support. Just absolutely on life support. Hey, are you you're a bowler? We've gone bowling before.
Yes.
You like bowling?
I do.
You've got
class on it.
You're getting better every time. Like, you beat me last time.
Well, that was like 3 months ago, so I don't know how good I am now, but well, I usually start off slow.
You get better as it goes. It's kind of strange because when you first go, you're like, "Oh, poor Angel."
Oh, it's bad. That first game
and
then, is bad.
And then,
like, and
then
I'm
the
like,
second
okay,
game, you're kind of like, you click on a few. And then the third game, you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, we got something cool going on with World Food Bank again. Noob, where you at, man? Noob is our freaking bowler. He is the Hall of Famer. He could be a Bowl of Famer. That guy is good. I want Hooligans to be in on this. But, you know, we had a lot of businesses join forces with it. So here's the deal. November 11th. It's going to be a Friday. Still working on the time. But Highland Park's Lanes, we are doing bowling for turkey, man. We are trying to help out Wild Food Bank. Assemble a team of four people. And all you got to do is bring five turkeys to the bowling alley that day, and Wild Food Bank will be there, or the cash equivalent to that. And it was a random team last year. I don't think it was like a business team. It was just a random team that beat the hell out of everybody. It was a good time. We've edited how we're doing a few things here, so it won't take as long. But it's for a great cause, and it's bowling, and it's five turkeys. You can get four people together to split up five turkeys. So we want you involved. It's going to be a great time. November 11th. I would love. Dixon, where you put your money where your mouth is, man. Dixon's always talking trash. Let's get you out there and get you bowling. Now, it's during the day because, unfortunately, the lanes have a hard time giving up those lanes on a Friday night. So we have to kind of do it in the afternoon or mid-afternoon into, you know, the 5, 6 o'clock mark. 12:32 the time. We're going to catch up with Mike Brohard next of CSURams.com, although I think we are. I have not confirmed, but we'll give it a shot. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Hull Show. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now from CSURams.com, one of our Rams insiders, Mike Brohard. Mike's out covering golf today. Mike, you going to give us like the whisper analysis today, or what are you thinking?
Pretty much, yeah. I'll be speaking. We were just watching Davis Bryant. He's getting ready to putt on the 11th green for birdie.
Tell me, you got to give me something, man. Tell me what happens here.
Well, I kind of went down into a ravine, so they couldn't hear me, so I can't even see the green right now. The things I do just to talk to you is amazing.
You just, like, creep up over there so they barely see you, and then, you know, it'll be quite the thing, man.
I feel like a little bit of a creeper right now, yeah.
We want to keep you. I might just keep you on for like an hour and see what happens. Mike,
you've done that before. I was at a women's golf tournament a couple years ago. So.
The things Mr. Brohard does for us here on the whole show, man, we appreciate you. Mike, you know how I'm always a negative Nancy. I feel more positive, not about the Broncos. I don't even want to go there anymore. But does it feel like CSU, this football team, I know they lost to Utah State, but maybe they're turning a little bit of a corner?
Well, especially defensively, you look at the way that they've played, the way they've held teams down. You know, it's not like they're playing perfect. They've given them some big plays still, but not big scoring plays. They've been gashed at times with the run, but nothing that they don't recover from. And, you know, they kind of stiffen up the closer they get down to the red zone and even in the red zone. So that's a really good sign. And then you see you know, run game starting to develop, which is always a positive thing, especially considering, you know, the youth of the quarterbacks take a little bit of pressure off them. The fact that you've started three different quarterbacks the past 3 weeks, and it looks like they're gonna go back to Clay Millen this week. So, you know, the revolving door, the beautiful thing about it is it always comes around to the front again.
Well, I love that too. Avery Morrow too. You talked about the run game. I had him on last week, Mike, and I joked. I was like, "Was that the game plan going in to that Nevada game?" And he was funny. He's like, "Dude, we're air raid. It's never the game plan." But here it is again. I mean, he ended up with 27 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. Sometimes it just works out that way. You gotta love that guy's fight out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's running the ball great. I mean, he's one of those kids that finally presented an opportunity. I mean, he played between two pretty good backs at Nevada, and they're still there. So he comes here, he gets a chance, he works his way through. You know, Ajon gets hurt, he gets a chance. All of a sudden, in the last 2 weeks, he's had 20-plus carries. He didn't even have that many carries. I think he had 22 carries the first four games. So, but he's taking advantage of it. I mean, back-to-back 100-yard games, and the 26-yard run he had was just – he was him being the playground bully, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love to see, a good, just a running back that just flat out gets after it, and he doesn't look like he's going down. He even looked exhausted in that Nevada game, but he just kept going. I love his fight there. But you talked about the quarterback situation, so it does sound like we are going to see Clay Millen back as the starting quarterback this weekend.
Yeah, that's the way everybody's kind of anticipating, unless something weird happens. I talked to Clay after practice today. He's good to go. He really wanted to play against Nevada, but he couldn't throw a ball. So that becomes problematic when you're a quarterback.
True, yes.
You know, and he still needed last week to kind of get back. But no, he's been fine at practice. He's ready to go. You know, the time away, he said, gave him some time to see some things and think about some things. And I'll write about that later in the week. But he seems like he's cleared and ready to go.
Well, and you talked about the defensive side of the ball, too. For the most part, I mean, again, I know not everything's been perfect. There's been some tough games for sure, but it does seem like, especially the last couple of weeks, Freddie Banks has this defense really cooking. I mean, the heart and soul, they are just coming out making play after play, and you just love to see it.
Yeah, they're a team right now that, when you look at it, they get it. It's, they're not having to think anymore. They're just being able to see things and react to them. And it's kind of come, some of it's coming from guys that haven't played a whole lot. You know, like Aiden Hector makes his first start, jumps up, gets a pick six. You know, McKendy doesn't play a lot or hadn't played a lot. He's getting more reps. You know, he's Johnny on the spot, you know, scores off a fumble return. You got guys that are picking off passes. You got guys that are forcing fumbles. Camp Barrettow has a couple of big plays. Special teams is starting to ramp up a little bit too. But yeah, the defense right now is starting to play, they're starting to read things and react to them, and that's allowing them to play more aggressive.
Going into this weekend, this Hawaii opponent, of course, it's going to be in Fort Collins. You know, at the beginning of the season, always look at where that game's going to be. The Rams opening up, I believe, is a 4.5-point favorite in this game. Tell us a little bit about Hawaii. I mean, they're 2-5. They did beat Nevada. They got a lot of points up, I think over 30 against Nevada. Talk to us a little bit about their opponent this weekend, Mike.
You know, they're a lot like CSU is, you know, like Timmy Chang, who was on staff here for about a month, and they love him, and they all want to see him succeed. They just don't want to see him have success this week. But, you know, that's a program that was a mess that he took over. But he's a kid from the island. He's a legend out there. He's somebody that can get them kind of, you know, revamped, that whole fan base kind of revitalized with his return. And, you know, they do a run and shoot, and while a lot of people, it was funny, I talked to Matt Mummy about it. It's like, you know, run and shoot and air raid, people think they're the same, and they're not at all. So they used to talk concepts all the time. But they've got a quarterback who's starting to play a little bit better, so they're starting to generate some points. But much like CSU, they're still trying to find their way.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I know you got work to do, so I won't keep you on, my friend. But I do appreciate you always jumping on with us. And let's see, man. Let's see if this Rams team can kind of follow up. I know we got a loss with Utah State, but there just seems like there's a corner being turned here, and maybe they can turn this season out to be something pretty positive overall.
Yeah, there's 6 weeks left, and that's what you want to do is you want to – you want to finish strong in conference play, and that's one of the things that Jay pointed out to this team is, in the past 5 years or so, because I did all the stat research for him, they just haven't been good the last six games of the year, and they haven't been good in November. He wants that to change, and they've got a chance to do that.
It's amazing what you can do, too, when you finish strong. Even if it's just showing progress, it gets people really pumped up the following year. But, Mike, you know, from attendance last week, it looks like this Rams fan base is still very much in on all everything Jay Norvell's doing. It's almost like they're logical. Like, they're looking at this going, it's going to take a little bit of time to get this thing up to exactly where we want.
Yeah, it's almost like they're not listening to you. You know, being negative Nancy all the time. Not just joking. You know, homecoming's always a big crowd. It's always a nice crowd. But it was great, and it was something the players and Jay Norvell really appreciated. And they're going to need that kind of support as they keep moving forward.
I have my negative moments for sure, Mike. But, yes, I think the Rams fans do ignore me most of the time. Mike, yeah, my friend, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, you have a lovely day.
You too, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I haven't been that negative about CSU. I mean, I've had my moments, but I'm very much in on this Jay Norvell thing. I'm very much in on this. Why does Jay Norvell get more leeway than Nathaniel Hackett? College versus NFL? Quarterback? Pros versus college kids?
I think all of that. I think with Hackett, you got your veteran quarterback with Coach Norvell. Yeah, he got a guy in Clay that he knows, I'm sure, through recruiting, but hasn't really seen him a lot on the field, so you're not really sure what Clay's ceiling is at this moment.
Right.
So you hope to see that through the rest of the season as he, you know, gets more of a foundation of what he's going to look like in the system. But college coaches just get more leeway. There's more – the expectations are high, but they're not – you're a professional. You need to be 100% every single day. Like the NFL.
And you're building a system, and it's, you know, let's be honest here. Whether we're going predicting in the future 5-10 years, how many NFL players are on the CSU football roster right now? How many will be? Just if you threw a random number out, like two,
the next five
three?
Years?
Yeah, five, 7 years.
Five or six.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's why. I mean, how many scholarship kids do you, and again, I know the transfer situation, but you got, what, 80 guys out there? How many scholarships do you have? I don't know. But you got a ton of guys. And so five or six out of all those guys every single year, not very many. Well, the NFL, the expectations are just different. You have NFL players. You have the tools. Every coach does. How do you use your tools better than anybody else? And Nathaniel Hackett has Russell Wilson. Jay Norvell has a freshman quarterback. And a brand new philosophy entering the room. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's coming in with like a brand, like, do you look at Nathaniel Hackett's offense and go, whoa, that's like something I never saw the Broncos put on the field before with Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph? Yeah, probably little things, but you don't look at it going, wow, this is Chip Kelly entering the league. This is a brand new day, a brand new philosophy in the NFL. It's not that obvious all the time. The Wildcat and stuff, like those are obvious, but this isn't that obvious of a change.
We've been told that Hackett's offense is very complex and there's a lot of movement, you know, a lot of details that you have to get with the calls and protections and all that. But when you see it on the field, it
doesn't look that way.
It doesn't look like it's complex. It looks like you're just failing to execute.
But then again, I mean, Kansas City has a lot of moving pieces and it looks easy when we watch it. Getting Travis Kelce to just take a five-year little dig route or something seems easy enough. But it's the way the play sets up, the way you're audibling, the way you're moving guys around in motion to set all this up, the blocking schemes that allow certain windows to open up for Patrick Mahomes. So I guess the one thing we can take away with what you're saying is maybe it is so complicated. Maybe it is a Jay Norvell situation. Maybe it is going to take 7-8 weeks for this thing to take hold. And those that were saying, because this was a narrative to start the season, Angel, there were those in the know and not in the know, meaning the muggles, the fan base, right, us, are saying this thing might not be ready this year. This thing might be ready next year when we get more guys surrounding Russ that make sense for Russ. Do you think that that's going through George Payton's mind? That maybe this wasn't the year and we weren't planning on it being the year. But we knew we wanted Russ for 7 years. We sign him. We got the, we're playing the long game here. We're going to let Nathaniel Hackett grow. And there's certainly a case to be made for that. Now, it's hard to make that case today. The 11 o'clock hour, I was very sad. I'm still very sad. I'm still very pissed off. But should we throw out our expectations for the rest of the season and say, this is what they're going to do. They need to stick with it and stick with their original game plan and grow with Nathaniel Hackett and hope that they build around what Russell Wilson's strengths are and that Russell and Hackett slowly start to click. Is that a possibility? Or based on what you've seen in 6 weeks, they're so far away that that idea is just unfathomable. Maybe so. I just, it's so bad, and there's so many major issues that it's really hard for me to say, yeah, you can stick with this plan going into next season. But if it's a Jay Norvell type situation, you want to give it the time it needs. Maybe Hackett's offense is that complicated. Maybe Russell is having a hard time adapting to it, and maybe just more time in it works. But then again, that also goes back to the preseason. You could have had 2 extra weeks with game film of you working within this offense, and it could have given you even more, maybe a head start. And so that, again, goes back to a poor coaching decision. 12:49 the time. Top Text Tuesday rolls on. Dixon's looking good here. Got a couple of texts from the 970. Maybe we'll go with that 405 positive text today. Give me something great. We got Avs rocking and rolling. Avs are over 500 to start the season. The Nuggets start tomorrow night, and I think they got, I seriously do, I think they have just as good a shot as anybody to win the whole thing. 12:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Do want to thank one of our amazing sponsors, and that's Cables Pub and Grill. That's what you're playing for today, a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Unless your name's B-Rad, then you will win a $50 gift certificate because he has won two of these. It's the first one to win three, gets the $50 gift certificate, courtesy of Cables. Today is Tuesday, which means it's Burger Madness at Cables for $9.99. You can go in and take part in all things Burger Madness. That actually sounds pretty good today, actually. So check out Cables Pub and Grill. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will Nathaniel Hackett be fired before the season ends, be given a second year, be fired at the end of the season? You go vote. 44% say he's going to be fired before the season ends. That's changed a little bit. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Will he survive the season? That's the question. Smitty texting in. Hackett is bad at his job. How long will new ownership stand by wasting opportunities? My philosophy, when faced with an opportunity to stop the bleeding, do not hesitate. But if that philosophy, though, and I get it, I understand it, and I love when hooligans come in and they have their own kind of their own maxim, their own philosophy of how to do things, but that philosophy doesn't allow growth sometimes, right? Because sometimes quarterbacks are bad in their first year. Sometimes coaches are bad. Sometimes managers are bad in their first year. Angel, I've talked myself into this. I'm pissed, and I do blame Nathaniel Hackett. He is the main cause for this right now. There's just too many issues that I can point to that say obvious coaching decisions were fumbled by Nathaniel Hackett. That being said, I think he should be given a second year. We've had a revolving door of head coaches. It's gotten worse over time. I do get that. But there's got to be a time when you're willing to grow, when you're willing to experience growing pains. And the Broncos did that with Vance Joseph, but it lasted a season in, what, 75% of it or whatever. They tried it with Vic. Well, Vic was a bad hire from the get-go. Vance Joseph, we could talk about, but Vic was a terrible mistake. This is George Payton's guy. You can't look at the past 6 years. They're different. You have moved on. It's a clean slate. It is now Nathaniel Hackett's team. He's a brand new coach. He's not a 60-year-old Vic Fangio. I know it's an unpopular opinion today, and I don't even know if I 100% am all in on this, but sometimes you got to quit firing coaches and let a guy just stick it out and see if he can get better. You think you have the quarterback, and here's the deal. If you don't have the quarterback, none of it matters because you're locked in with this guy. Your thoughts? I think they should give him a second season. Now, again, do they get blown out every single game? They haven't been blown out once. We'll get a little positive on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Future headlines are coming up next.